Thank you for joining us for this week's broadcast of A Word from the Lord. Today, Dr. Peach brings us a message entitled, Surprise. Here now is our speaker and teacher for A Word from the Lord, Archbishop Foley Beach.
Father, as we open your word this morning, come and speak to us. Help us to hear what you'd have us say. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. A few years ago, Allison and I had planned an early dinner, one evening out with friends at a local restaurant. And I was truly looking forward to time out with these friends. And basically, to tell you, it was one of those weeks where it was just exhausting and you needed downtime. And I was just looking forward to shutting it off, laughing, having good fellowship, and just chilling out. Well, Alice and I walk into the restaurant, and to my surprise, it was completely filled with people from the church where I was serving. Unbeknownst to me, they were there to celebrate my upcoming birthday. They'd rented out the restaurant and had planned a big party. Well, not only were most of the church folks present, but lifelong friends were there as well. And they were all excited about surprising me and celebrating my birthday. Well, I was totally caught off guard. Yes, it was that long ago, Allison. I had no clue. I mean, they got me good. I mean, if you can believe it, I was speechless. I mean, I was so out of my comfort zone that I babbled all night, blubbermouth. And I went from blue zone to purple to red and stayed in red all night. I was completely surprised. Well, surprises affect folks in different ways. And as you can imagine, on this first Easter morning that we just heard about, the women at the tomb were quite surprised. These women had followed Jesus for years. They probably cooked his meals, cleaned his clothes, provided funds for various needs. They were dedicated, loyal servants of their Messiah. And then to their surprise and horror, they saw him arrested. They watched him carry his cross up to the hill where he was crucified. They watched the Romans whip and lash his back and people mock him as he made the walk. They saw with their own eyes the nails driven into his hands and into his feet and the cross raised with their Messiah hung up to die. They were there when he took his last breath and watched as his head slumped. They watched while the soldier put the spear in his side up into his heart to make sure he was dead, and they saw him lowered from the cross. Our gospel reading this morning from Luke 24 shares the resurrection story from Luke's historical perspective, and Luke is always great about putting in historical details. And he notes at the end of chapter 3, right before this reading, that after Jesus died, a man by the name of Joseph from a town called Arimathea, a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, was the ruling council of the Jews, went to Pilate and asked for the body so that Jesus could have a proper Jewish burial. Well, these women had been there, and they saw the rock tomb where Joseph laid the body. They saw it sealed and the Roman soldiers who were put there to guard it. And the text tells us they went and spent the rest of the day preparing spices and ointments for the official burial preparation, which would occur after the Sabbath day. Well, now it's the third day, the day after the Sabbath. And they want to finish the appropriate burial custom and anoint his body with spices. So they get to the tomb, this small cave cut out in a rock cliff, a rock face of a cliff. And they get to the tomb, and the tomb is open. And the big rock stone that was rolled against the door somehow had been moved. And so they walk into the tomb, and there's no body of Jesus there. It's gone. Listen again to what we heard just read from Luke chapter 24, verse 3. When they went in, they did not find the body of Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise? And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and all the rest. Of course, later we're told they didn't believe him. To say they were surprised would be an understatement. They couldn't fathom it. They'd watched him die. They'd come to express their last act of love by anointing his body, and he isn't there. They can't take it all in. Mark expresses it this way in Mark 16, verse 8. They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had overtaken them. Jesus had even told them what was going to happen, but it was out of their frame of reference. It was off their radar screen. They'd never experienced such a thing. They'd never seen a video or heard anyone being resurrected from the dead after they'd been killed. They had seen Jesus raise Lazarus. And if you remember as well, he raised a young man and a little girl who had died. But they couldn't fathom this. They were totally surprised. Of course, we know later, that they and the other disciples saw Jesus numerous times and heard him speak in various places. But it was such a surprise. Well, that's why we're here this morning, to celebrate what they encountered that day. Easter Day is the culmination of a week of remembrance in which we call Holy Week, a week in which we intentionally remember Jesus' prophetic entry into Jerusalem, what we call Palm Sunday, his celebration and institution of the Lord's Supper, his arrest, his trial, his mockery, his crucifixion, his death, and his burial. But he did not remain dead. He was raised from the dead. He was seen by numerous people. He gave the Great Commission to spread his message of love and repentance and discipleship into all the world, and then he ascended into heaven after 40 days. Now, if one thinks these early disciples were surprised at his resurrection, here almost 2,000 years later, people are often very surprised to discover Jesus is no longer dead. It's not until one comes to him in faith and one is born in the Holy Spirit that one personally discovers that he's no longer dead. It's not just an intellectual understanding, but an experiential faith and belief which comes from having him in your life. Amen. This week, the world was again surprised that there is real evil among our sophisticated, politically correct, and immoral world. The attacks in Brussels and last November in Paris are stark reminders that evil exists and seeks to destroy all that is good. Of course, we don't have to look far to find evil in our midst. We see it as well in most of our communities and even in our families as people resort to living out of their human nature and self-centered lifestyles, and evil takes over. The Apostle Paul said it this way, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." He said a few chapters later in Romans, "And the wages of sin is death." Living without the good news of Jesus eventually leads to pure evil. For individuals as well as societies, goodness and kindness and righteousness and godliness become foreign concepts without God. Easter changed all this for those who come to faith in Christ and begin to follow him in obedience. We saw this in the Roman Empire as the teaching of Jesus eventually spread and converted a pagan, ruthless empire into a godly and righteous realm. At least it was until they began to abandon biblical practices that we find in the New Testament. The same has been true throughout modern history, not just in nation states, but in individuals' lives. This is part of why we celebrate Easter this morning. He's alive, he's real, and he has the power to change lives for the good. For those who come to him in repentance and faith, life is never the same. He begins to transform you from the inside out. Because he is no longer dead, there are several things which eventually happen to us and that occur to us when we come to him in this kind of faith. For those who believe in him, some things happen, some things change, and some things are ours because of the resurrection of Jesus. And these are quite surprising, not just intellectually, but when you personally experience them. The first is the forgiveness of one's sins. The forgiveness of one's sins. The whole purpose of his death on the cross was that he might make the sacrifice that we cannot make for the forgiveness of our sins. What sins in your life do you have that you want to get rid of? What sins in your life are you ashamed of? What sins in your life that you keep doing or that are things that you should be doing, but you cannot, for some reason, cannot overcome it? Part of the resurrection is that he gives us the power and the forgiveness of our sin. Power over and the forgiveness of our sins. When Jesus asked his followers to start having communion in remembrance of him, which we're going to do in a few minutes at the Lord's table, he said, "This is my body which is given for you." And then he said in Matthew 26, 28, "This is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The Apostle Peter explaining it to the unbelievers in his day about Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verse 39, which we just heard, he said this, "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him from the dead and on the third day caused him to be seen." Remember, he said, we're witnesses of this. We've seen it. Verse 42, "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." The Apostle John, in his first letter to the early Christians, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, said this, "My dear little children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." The Apostle Paul wrote and explained about the resurrection of the Christians in Corinth. And in the midst of this explanation about resurrection and life from the grave and all of this, he says, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." The resurrection of Jesus from the dead makes available to us the pardon and forgiveness of our sins. Now, some people are totally surprised by this. They cannot believe that God would forgive them of their sins without them having to do something. Well, there is one thing you have to do. Believe it. Exercise your faith. The Apostle Paul summarizes this all in 2 Corinthians 5:21. "God made him," meaning Jesus, "God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Years ago, one of the contemporary Christian groups put out a hit song called, was the band Casting Crowns, and it was based on the Psalm 103, verse 12, which says, "As far as the east is from the west, has God cast our sins." Well, you think, how far is the east and how far is west? Well, it's forever. It's how far he's cast our sins. Well, here's some of the lyrics of this song. "Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? Because I can't bear to see the man I've been come rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest, because you know just how far the east is from the west. From one scarred hand to the other." That's what he did on the cross. The forgiveness of all our sins. And they're cast as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more in his sea of forgetfulness. His death and resurrection brings to us forgiveness of our sins. His resurrection was the confirmation that what he did on the cross was true. His resurrection was the exclamation point at the end of the sentence, which found him on the cross dying in love for the sins of you and the sins of me. Well, there's a second thing the resurrection of Jesus makes available to us, and that is eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life is the ability to have a personal relationship with God, to know him, as Jesus described in John 17:3. It's the only definition that I know of eternal life that's found in the Bible. And it's this: this is eternal life, he prayed, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is the ability to have a relationship, to know him. And this relationship starts here, right now on planet Earth, and continues through all eternity. It continues after we leave these bodies that we find ourselves in. The resurrection of Jesus Christ affirms that life does not end on earth. There's another realm. There's another sphere of reality. And there we continue to live and know him eternally, everlasting. As Romans 6:23, the Apostle Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And Jesus said in John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son," meaning himself, "whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." When a person comes to Jesus Christ by faith, that person's life is changed, not just in the present tense, but in the future tense as well. Death is no longer the end. It becomes the door to a different and deeper life with God. We call it heaven. The Apostle John says it this way in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. He says that this is the testimony, or this is the witness. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So the resurrection allows us to be able to have the forgiveness of our sins, allows us to be able to have eternal life. A third thing, the resurrection tells us that he is with us in the surprises that life and the world throw our way. Hebrews 13:8 says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:5 says, God says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So when the surprises of life come, and they do come, and they will come, because he is alive, we know that he will not leave us. Now, many of you have been surprised by the events in your life in recent months. Might be relationships, finances, job situation, health issues, circumstances. They could be good surprises or bad surprises. But since most of us do not respond well in life to negative surprises, this can have a big effect on our life. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we know that he will be with us in the surprises which life and the world bring our way. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He promises to walk with us and talk with us along the paths that this life brings. But we have to come to him in repentance and faith. We have to allow him to walk with us. He won't force his way into our lives. He will walk with us during all our days, even the difficult days, if we'll let him. If we'll let him. But too many of us don't live our lives as if we really believe he's alive. We act and live as if we believe he was never raised from the dead. Let me say that again. We act and live as if we believe he was never raised from the dead. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can have forgiveness. We can have eternal life, and we can know that He will be with us in all the surprises which life and the world bring our way. And that's good news. It's Easter. He's risen. He's alive. Because He's no longer dead, all fear is gone. Because He's no longer dead, I can face tomorrow. Because He's no longer dead, all the surprises which come our way are not surprises to Him. He will walk with us. He will guide us. He will impart His wisdom. He will give us His counsel. He will impart His power so that we're not helpless orphans on the ever-changing sand dunes of life. You and I are living in a time and a place and a history where it seems that everything around us is changing like the sand on the beach. The wave comes in and everything's rearranged, reshaped, and changed. That's the time we're living in. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive. He's with you. He'll walk with you. He'll guide you. He'll be with you in everything. We have to trust Him. And that's why during Easter season, we say Alleluia. That's why we sing Alleluia. That's why we shout Alleluia. He's no longer dead. He's risen. So, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
So, Father, we come this morning and I pray for each person here. And Lord, some here this morning do not know You. And I ask that You would draw them to Yourself, that You'd bring them to a place of wanting their sins forgiven, wanting eternal life, and wanting Your presence with them in the every aspect of their life. And Lord, some of us here this morning have drifted from You. We've kind of put You on the shelf and we're living life without You. And I pray that You would draw them to Yourself as well, that You would bring them to a place of letting go and letting You be in charge. So I submit us all to You. Come and have Your way among us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
That was Dr. Beach with today's message. For more information on this message and this ministry, please visit awordfromthelord.org. There you will find today's message and previously aired messages, where you can listen to them again and share them with friends and family. awordfromthelord.org has audio archives of Foley Beach's one-minute radio feature and much more. So visit awordfromthelord.org for audio, articles, and information about the ministry. You can find A Word from the Lord on Facebook, and be sure to click the like button to follow our feed on Facebook. You'll want to be sure to visit Foley's blog at bishopfoleybeach.blogspot.com. On the blog, you can read the many articles posted by Dr. Beach. Many of these blog entries are excerpts and full articles published in local publications. You can also follow Foley on Twitter. His Twitter address is twitter.com@foleybeach. If you have any comments or questions about the program, you can contact Dr. Beach by email at foleybeach@awordfromthelord.org. Again, his email is foleybeach@awordfromthelord.org. You can contact us by mail. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 636, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Our mailing address again is P.O. Box 636, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Whether you send us an email or write to us, we'd love to hear from you. A Word from the Lord is made possible by God's grace through the continued prayers and loving financial support from you. And we thank you for this opportunity to spread the hope of the gospel of Christ through this ministry. Join us again next time for the next broadcast of A Word from the Lord. For Dr. Beach and everyone here at A Word from the Lord, it is our prayer that you would be seeking a word from the Lord.